Good morning. We want to welcome all of you today, and we're so glad that you're with us on this 12th Sunday after Pentecost, and we've gathered together in the comfort of this place that God has blessed us with, and we can join together in our hearts and singing together and worshiping the Lord, and so what a blessing that is, and we also want to welcome those that may be listening later on online. And a little bit later on in our service, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about God using us. And I ask that question, how do we shine as God's people, as the body of Christ? And so we'll be looking a little bit at that and how God shapes us within community to be all that God has called us to be. So let's join together and stand and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together for our call to worship there in the bulletin this morning. With all our strength, let us sing aloud to God. Let us lift our voices in praise to God. Come, let us worship the Lord with great joy. Well, let's join together there. You can either turn in your hymn books or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. Hymn number 430, Victory in Jesus this morning. We're going to be singing all three verses today.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groanings, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He taught me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the 20th flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, in spirit, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the 20th flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there, sung the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love
together there for our opening prayer this morning. Through the ages, O God, You have called us to follow You. Fill us once again with Your love and grace as we worship, that we might serve You with joy in the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and we are going to sing the little chorus there on hymn number 86, Jesus, we just want to thank You. And you can follow along if you want on the PowerPoint this morning.
Jesus, we just want to thank You. Jesus, we just want to thank You. Jesus, we just want to thank You. Thank You for being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise You. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Serve you for being so good.
That's it. All right, I'm going to invite our kids to come down if they would make their way this morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Huh? All right. Oh my gosh, the boys outnumber the girls today. It's been a while since that's happened. Yeah. So how's everybody doing? Are you back in school?
Yeah, I am.
Yes. You are. Back to school tomorrow. I thought I was going to get the first couple weeks off of subbing, and I was in already last week, and subbing at the high school and junior high, and I'll be there this week again. So, yes, so what's your favorite subject at school? Math, okay. Huh? Math, too? What is he saying? What is it? I'm not sure what that is. Okay. Well, do you have a favorite subject? What is it? What'd you say? I can't hear. What? Oh, yes, reading. Yes. Yes, the reading part. Yes. All right. Yes. So, everybody, well, I think when Chase was probably your age, he said his favorite subject was recess. I think. Yeah. He's not here to defend himself because they're at a soccer tournament. So, and but yes, so today, oops, I forgot to change it. And I do that every once in a while, don't I? And the day that I want to allow it to use it. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about giftings. We talked a little bit about that last week, how each of us has gifts. And remember I told you that when you were born, I think, this is my opinion, that God already placed gifts in you. And that's going to have to do with when you get older. And so Paul here, when he's talking to the Romans, he talks about the organs in our body. Now, what do you think in our body, what are the most important organs we have in our body that you can't live without? What do you think is one of the most important ones? The heart. Yeah, that's one. Yeah, that's one, because we know if our heart's not beating, we're not going to be alive anymore. Brain, yes, yes, that's right. They captured the two that I'm going to talk about later on when the adults, in the sermon with the adults. Yeah, we usually think of the brain and the heart. If we don't have those, I mean, we just aren't going to live. Those are like the what we think of as the most important, the high profile. But how many has ever heard of this little thing about yay long called the appendix? Now, that, either you've never heard of it, I heard a couple adults chuckle because they probably had theirs taken out. You can have it taken out of your body and still live. But while it's in your body, if it starts to malfunction, you will be in serious pain and won't be able to function right. And that's why sometimes they have to do emergency surgery to take that out so you can feel back to normal again. That's a tiny little thing. And that little thing does certain things. Now, sometimes as kids, we come to this big church, all these people, and we think, well, we're just not important. But let me tell you, and that's what Paul is saying there. He says, we have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though, there are many of us, and we are one body in Christ, and individually, we belong to each other. He's trying to tell us that each one of us is important in the church, in the body of Christ. Even if we don't think we're as important as the pastor who stands up there, me, you are important and just as important as me. All of us are. Because God put us all together for a purpose and reason. And each of us has an important purpose in the local church. Now, you may not know what that fully is yet. But as I said, God's already put those gifts in you. And one day you'll figure it out a little bit better and understand more fully what God has for you and what you can do. You see some of the younger kids in church, maybe not as young as you, maybe a little bit older. They've helped with the offering. They've helped downstairs with serving meals and different things and so forth. So some of them are already starting to do some things because they want to get involved. And that's a part of being part of the body, because all of our organs inside of us, lungs, heart, liver, spleen, you know, all the different parts that can keep going on. If they're not working right, then we won't function right as human beings. We won't be able to run. We won't be able to think clear and all that. And that's why we need all of us working together in the church so that we can carry out God's purpose for us. Okay? All right. You guys can go on downstairs. And we will go to our time of prayer this morning. So maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. And we want to give you an opportunity to do that. Someone this morning. Go ahead.
My neighbor passed away Friday.
Okay. What's the last name?
Long.
Okay. So we want to remember the Long family with the loss of that loved one there. Someone else. Laying in the bed that long is, yeah.
So he's got a way to go, but he's doing great.
That's wonderful. She was sharing, Gerald was able to get up and begin walking with a walker. If you don't know, he's had how many spine back surgeries?
20.
Over 20. Yes. And we've only been involved with a couple of them praying for him. So, yeah. Yeah, so thank God for that. And I moved him and a few others that were on our list over to our monthly list there. You'll see it when you pick up the monthly calendar. But yes, and he's been on there for a while too. Someone else, yeah. Where's she at?
She's at Upper Valley.
Okay.
And she has the pink, but she also has something else, and they don't know what it is.
Okay.
And then Beth and Tammy and Colt and Levi, they're all together. Anthony, so the dad, is now in rehab for 30 days. He can send it to go there. Visit.
Yeah, from what Bev texted me about, it sounds like he's got a concussion. Yeah, because he was getting sick to his stomach, headaches, and all of that. And that's because Chase had that. So, yeah. And so we want to keep him, Levi, in our prayers. And just that kind of Tammy and her family, all of that. It's just been very difficult here lately. And some of the things that's been going on. So, without getting into too many details. So, did you have anything else?
Unspoken.
Okay. And we know God knows that. Yeah.
Mandy had her surgery.
Good.
Wednesday. And got through it fine and is now healing.
Okay.
I think they got the cancer.
Good. We want to keep Mandy in our prayers as she's recovering. She's still on our monthly and we'll keep her on there till we know more here in the future what's going to go on. I saw multiple hands. Hang on a minute. Go ahead. Okay, unspoken. We know the Lord knows that. I saw a couple others. Yeah.
Last week I asked for prayers for Michael Johnson Sr. who was in Germany. And I learned a little more this week from his son. He is still over there. They moved him from the hospital to the Air Force Base. He has 9 broken ribs. And he has the whole top of his arm is they hopefully, he's in a lot of pain, but they're hopeful that maybe this next week, if they can get him kind of regulated, the Air Force may fly him back to the States with a doctor.
Okay. You know what? That's going to be a while. Can you fill out one of the prayer slips and give that to me after service? So I can get him on in the bulletin for a while, and we definitely need to keep him in our prayers. I saw a couple other. Go ahead. Okay. I know the Lord knows that. Yeah.
Just my brother, that he's been in ICU all week, but they've now moved him to a skilled nursing rehab.
And what's his first name?
Dale.
Okay. Yes. So we want to remember Dale in our prayer and Michael in our prayers and several unspoken needs. Yeah.
Dan Hudson, who is my daughter-in-law Stacy's dad, fell last week and knocked Shirley, his wife Shirley, on the ground. And they all went to the hospital, but she's all right, I guess. But he is unresponsive this morning. He's not recovering from the fall at all. He was in bad shape before he fell.
Okay.
And Stacy called and talked to Rhea this morning and wanted us to pray for him. So.
Prayers for Stacy?
For Dan.
Oh, for Dan. For sorry. Dan. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, she probably needs him too, but.
So we want to remember Dan. With this fall and lifting him up. Speaking of falls, Mary Sue fell this week and broke her clavicle, I believe it's called, right here. Karen and I were talking back and forth, very thankful that she does not have to have surgery on that. I believe it'll heal up on its own. Definitely want to keep Mary Sue in our prayers. Was there anybody else? Oh, multiple.
My friend Lester Martin, diabetic and can't get his medication regulated right, doesn't feel well.
Okay. So we want to remember Lester this morning and praying that that'll all work out to get his. So we want to remember Cameron, both of her grandchildren, blew out his elbow. Wow. And Sarah with her knee. I know, and I don't want that to happen because I was looking forward to watching her play her last year of basketball. because she wasn't able to play last year because of her injury in soccer. So definitely want to keep both of those in prayer. I saw a couple other hands. I was wondering about that. You'll be a hop and a skip from where we live at now. So, oh, no, wait a minute. You said Randall, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it used to be the Golden House.
Oh, thank you. So when you said Randall, I was like, wait a minute, that's in Tip. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay. Well, there we go. And what's, if she's in the assisted living part, then she can still come out. It's just somebody's got to pick her up and give her a ride out, so, and everything. Yes. And so, let's see. Was there anybody else? Did I get everybody? A couple others want you to know. We want to continue praying for Asher. I did not find out anymore. I'll be at the junior high tomorrow, so I'll try to find out from Brittany about her son, Asher. Jill Delcamp, Jody's sister that we've been praying for, had that major surgery, is doing much better. She was hoping to be able to go to church this morning, and Jody was wanting me to let you know a little bit of an update, but we're going to be keeping her on the monthly because she will start some treatments here sometime soon, and we don't know all the details about that yet, but we wanted to let you know about that. And then for Jim and Kay, we want to continue remembering them as we have been, and so lots of names there and lots of people to pray for. I'll invite you to do that quietly as she plays this morning, if you want to lift up some of those names that come to your mind, and then I'll close us out. Up those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we do that out of our dependence upon you. We know that everything about life depends on you and that we can trust you through everything that we face. And even the times when we face difficulties with our health and things that happen in life that we weren't expecting, Lord, we can turn to you, and you are there in those times. So we lift up each one that's been mentioned today, Lord. We think of Lester today. We think of Mary Sue. We think of Dan today. We think of Dale, Lord. We think of Gerald. We think of Ellie. We think of Levi, we think of Mandy and Michael today. We think of Jim and Kay and Betty today and Sarah and Cameron. God, we just lift all of them up, each of their names that have been mentioned today and spoken. And Lord, we just ask for you to work in those situations with those. And we pray for your healing touch for those that need healing touch. We pray for those that need strength today. Lord, we lift them up to you. We pray for those that are recovering or healing. And God, we just ask for your strength and touch for them. We pray for the doctors as they work with them. And Lord, through all of this, and we just thank you for your grace extended in each one of them, Lord. And Lord, we also lift up the Long family with the loss of this loved one. We pray for your peace, your comfort and grace. And Lord, we lift up Tammy and her family and just everything that's been happening there. Lord, we just pray for peace today. And we pray for your grace, Lord, in the midst of that situation. And that you would work in that as only you can do. We also lift up those three that were mentioned for unspoken needs today. Lord, we know that you know exactly what is going on there. And we just ask that you would work in those situations and minister as only you can do. And Lord, we continue to lift up those on our monthly list, Lord, God, that you would continue to bring healing, bring strength. Many of them on our that monthly list are going through treatments for cancer. God, we just ask that as they go through those treatments, that the treatments will do what they're supposed to do, and that cancer will shrink, Lord, and disappear, and healing will come forth. And Lord, we pray for strength for each of those and others, Lord, that are facing longer term health issues, that your hand would be with each of those today. And Lord, we just thank you that we are able to gather as your people. And we just pray that as we break the bread of your word, that you would just continue to teach us and encourage us and strengthen us, not only as the body of believers, the body of Christ, but as the church of Jesus Christ that goes forth and as a blessing to others that we come into contact with out there in the world each day. And we thank you for all of those things. And Lord, I pray for those that maybe are here this morning, maybe some need that is going on in their life that they didn't mention, or something they couldn't share, or maybe in their family. We just lift that up to you right now. And we ask that you would minister as only you can do, as we entrust those ones and those people and those situations into your hands, as you are our great provider in so many, many ways. And we're grateful and thankful for all of that. We continue to pray for our nation. We continue to pray for our state, our community, our school, and all the surrounding areas, Lord. And we just ask your continued grace and presence and love being in operation through your people, O Lord, to make a difference in our world today. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for taking time to pray this morning with us. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving this morning. And we want to say, like we always do, thank you for your faithful giving. It's what continues the work of the ministry of the church here and going forth into our community and world. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Well, let's join together there for our dedication in the bulletin. Oh God, you invite us to share the blessing. Use these gifts to your service. Multiply them through us for your use. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Romans chapter 12. I'm going off lectionary again. And Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8 this morning. You can follow along there on the PowerPoint. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercy, I encourage you to present your bodies as living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though, there are many of us. We are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray and ask that God will add his blessing to the reading of the word to our hearts and minds, and that our hearts will be open today to receive what the Spirit wants to say to us this morning. I didn't bring my glasses. I left them down in the office. Hopefully I can read this okay this morning. So a teenager brought his girlfriend to a football game for the first time. They had seats right behind the coach's bench. And after the game, he asked her if she liked the game. She said, "Oh, I really liked it. Especially all the big muscles on the football players. But I just couldn't understand why they were killing themselves over 25 cents. Well, dumbfounded, the boy asked, "Well, what do you mean? "Well, they flipped a coin at the beginning of the service, and one team got it, and the rest of the game, they were all screaming, 'Get the quarterback, get the quarterback.'" And she continued and said, "I'm like, well, it's only 25 cents. Shaped for serving God. Shaped for serving God. When I was in college, I first heard the phrase, and I can't remember when or how I was trying to rack my brain this week about it. But I first heard the phrase, comparison breeds inferiority. Let me say that again. Comparison breeds inferiority. And that stuck in my mind because it had been so true in my own personal experience growing up and even sometimes even as an adult. It's still true. Every time I compare myself to someone else, whether in looks, abilities, academics, or if I'm funny or popular or whatever, I often, especially back in the day, I would often come up short. And this was true for me before social media. You know, if you remember back into school, you can remember some of those battles that went on and so forth. I've had some interesting conversation with my son Chase, who's in junior high, because I remember junior high as not a fun time because of all the cliques and that popularity thing that just can sometimes kids could be so cruel during that time. But that has exponentially gotten worse with social media. We're always hearing about kids and teenagers and the different things, and you know, because I read and listen, and you know, we've even had kids commit, not, I don't know of any here at Miami East, maybe it was connected with it, I don't know, but we've heard of people around the world, teenagers that have committed suicide because of the things that they were battling with, that or being bullied online and all kinds of things. And but in our reading today, Paul reminds us of something very important. And I think this is so true. And if you ever get a chance to share at least some of the aspects of this with your grandkids and so forth, it's not a bad idea. He reminds us that we cannot function properly in the body of Christ as God's people if we're either too high-minded, he said there, don't think of yourselves too highly, or on the other hand, if we are too low-minded. And that comes from comparing ourselves to others. Paul talks about that in several places in his writings where he talks to the church and says, don't compare yourselves to one another. You know, that it just causes trouble and people get jealous and all those kind of things. Yes, even in the church. And in fact, he says, I'd rather you be sensibly minded, if I could say it that way, sensibly minded. And he talks about renewing our minds, having our minds renewed so that we can think sensibly. And so I'll have conversations with Chase. And I said, Chase, I knew what it was like back then. You know, I'm honest with Chase. I talk to him very bluntly about things like that. And he tells me a lot of stuff. Some I couldn't repeat in here. You know, but we have that kind of a conversations because I never had that growing up. You know, some of you that are older, your parents never talked to you about certain subjects when you were growing up. It's just kind of the way it was in living in our world, you know. And but I talk about Chase. I said, listen, you know, it doesn't matter what other people think of you. You got to live and be who God's called you to be. And that's kind of what Paul is trying to get them to see, because here they are, these house churches all across the Roman, all across Rome, and they're trying to collectively be the body of Christ in the Roman Empire with all of its varieties, all of its gods and goddesses, everything that you can imagine. Just think of the United States of America. Not maybe the technology, but the same kind of thing, but with people believing in lots of gods and goddesses and emperor worship and all of that kind of thing. And they're facing all this, and he wants them to be sensibly minded. Why? Why does he want them to be sensibly minded? Why does he want them to be renewed in their thinking? Because being a part of Christ's body means we are being shaped for serving God. And if you can imagine a little bit in this picture, imagine Christ being the trunk of that tree, and all of those leaves on there are all of us that serve him. And if you can think about that, trying to paint a picture. And that means, and I'm going to share two things with you, it means each of us matters. That's what I was trying to talk to the kids about this morning. Each of us matters. Each of us are essential to the body of Christ. We, just think of it this way. We are in this together. We are in this together. It's hard enough to get through life being on your own. I can't fully imagine, you know, how hard it is for people that are all by themselves. They don't have family. They don't have friends. They don't have anything. How they get through life. It's hard enough. Let me rephrase that. It's hard enough to get through life with friends and family and people that are there to support us. I can't imagine trying to do it on our own. And Paul uses the analogy of our bodies. Our bodies with all of our literal human body, with our organs and everything. And he talks about how each are dependent on the other. You know, and like I was sharing with the kids, we might say that some organs are more important or more high profile, you know, like the brain or heart. But as I was sharing with the kids, even the smallest, the appendix. And I'm sure Stephen could probably tell us about some other little parts in us that if we didn't have those and they weren't working right, there would be problems. And my point is each of us are vital to the community of faith. And because of that, then each of us has something unique to contribute. We're here for a reason. God, I've always believed this. Every church I pastor, I've told the people, you are here for a reason. God brought you here for this time. And whatever it is, whatever that unique contribution is, we should be and do our best. I mean, let's just think about a football team here for a minute. You know, think of a team. It consists of players filling positions, and each of them has to do it well so that they function together so that they can do what they're going to do, like football. The quarterback, as we talked about a moment ago, can't throw to a receiver for a touchdown unless the center snaps the football and gets it into the quarterback's hands, and the offensive line protects the quarterback. You know, like we saw somewhat with the Bengals at the end, we have this great new quarterback, but they weren't protecting him enough and so forth. And they fixed that over the off season. So we're going to see, you know, I know I'm kind of getting off there a little bit, but we have, my point is, and I won't even touch the Browns, so we won't even go there. But my point is we all have a part to play. No instrument in the orchestra is expendable. Every jigsaw puzzle is needed to complete the picture. We all know these things, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded. We all matter. And then Paul goes on and talks about something else, and that's this. Each of us functions in our gifts. So for the body of Christ to do what it's supposed to do and what God has put us here to do, not only do we all matter, but we all have to be functioning in our gifts that God has given us. Let me say it this way, if I might. Each of us must be all in with our gifts. And I emphasize that word all in because Paul, in unique Greek, when he talks about this, he urges the Christians at Rome to lean in to their gifts. And he does this by repeating this Greek word en over and over again. En means in. And he says this, and I'm going to be real literal the way I translate this. In speaking, speak. And that's prophecy. Okay? So by the way, let me correct a common error that Christians in America have. Prophecy is not about the end of the world and the end times. Prophecy is speaking forth the message that God has in the current situation. And that's all that's been true with the prophets in the Old Testament. That's true in the book of Revelation. That's true when Jesus spoke about things and so forth. It's always so in speaking, speak, in serving, serve, in teaching, teach. This is exactly the way he wrote it. In encouragement, encourage, in giving, give generously, in leading, lead passionately, in mercy, show it cheerfully. And those are just a few of the gifts that are talked about in the New Testament. In other words, own your gifts. Have you ever heard a coach or somebody you know in your workplace or whatever, and they'll say, own it. Jason, own it. They're saying, put your heart into it and do it, whatever it is. And so lean in. Paul's telling us to lean into our God-given strengths and gifts. Some of these gifts, as I was sharing with the kids, have been lying dormant in us since we've been kids. I often think about this, and it's not really embarrassing, but probably when I was probably 8, 9 years old, down in the basement all by myself. Now, my sister can remember when I used to walk out in the fields and act like I was driving a tractor, and I was, but something later on is I would either act like or pretend I was a teacher at school, or I pretended, and we had stairs going down the basement, and I would stand at the end of the stairs, and those stairs were the pews. And I acted like I was the preacher, like Pastor Knock when I was growing up. Guess what I'm doing today? Both of those. Something that God has put in me. And they only come alive, though, when we act on our faith. In other words, we trust God and step out. And here's what I want you to see or remember. We belong to God first, and from that connection then flows our giftings. Now, you might be saying, "Oh, how do I know what my giftings are?" And real quickly, I know we're running out of time here. I want to give you a couple things to think about. First of all, one of the first ways to kind of discern through all this is self-examination. So let me give you some questions. What do I enjoy doing? What kind of ministry in the church? And when I'm talking about all this, I'm not talking about you being called the full-time ministry. I'm talking about you just exercising the gifts that God has given you. What kind of ministry is satisfying and attractive to you? What problems do I most notice? Or do I feel burdened for certain situations? You know, or things that I see. Do I feel the church is too disorganized? And if you can answer yes to that, come and talk to me, because I'll make you an administrator. Because I do not like, my gifting is not administration, and I don't like to do that kind of stuff. In other words, is it possible that where we are especially sensitive to certain needs, God has maybe gifted us and is calling us to meet those needs? Second thing, experience. We learn our gifts as we minister. I found this out real early. Like when I had graduated from college, I was in seminary. I was working part-time in the grocery store, part-time as a youth pastor, and going to seminary. The part-time as youth pastor, when that year and a half was over, I knew from then on, nobody could have convinced me otherwise, I was not called to be a youth pastor. And to every church I've been at, I've always told them, I said, listen, if you're expecting to get a pastor who's going to take over the youth ministry, you're looking at the wrong guy. Because that's not where my giftings are. Now, I like to goof off with the youth. I'll admit that. That's why I go out and I hang out with them at their sporting events and at their 4-H projects and the fair and everything. I like to hang out with the kids, but it's just not what I'm called to do. Do we have a set of gifts for a particular area? Well, then work in that area. And you know what? They may get revised. You know, when I first went off to college, I was going to be a missionary because I thought that's where I was going. And God refocused that when I was going through college and directed me in a different area. And so sometimes it's okay if we try out something in the church and we realize, nope, that's not for me. I'll try something else. And that's always. And then once you begin to find out and hone in, then it gets real simple. And the third thing is act on it. Use it. Do it. Once we have identified our giftings, we are then called to use it in the service for God and for others. So part of being shaped for service to God and functioning in the body of Christ is being sensibly minded. We all matter. We all function in our gifts so we may serve God and others. And after that, who knows what can happen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment or two, shake a couple of hands, say hi to one another, greet one another, and then we'll close out with our final song there this morning. Of the Lord is in this place. Many of you probably know it by heart. 3:14. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can hear His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see surely the presence of the Lord. Now, oh, let's sing it again. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Well, let's join together there for our benediction. Beloved of the Lord, go with God's blessing and peace. Go in service in God's world, welcoming and helping those in need, sharing the gifts you have been given. Go now in God's favor. Amen. Amen.